Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. It's part two of The Great Commission. And with us today, we have Pastor Will.
What's going on, family?
Well, welcome. Sunday was awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it was.
That was really cool. What's cool is Pastor Will and I were not in the room for the first half of the sermon. So then we got to get caught up on it. We just finished watching it together. Yeah. And, you know, again, be very thankful that we have all this technology that allows us to go back and digest again.
Yeah.
Pick
yeah.
up what you missed.
Yeah.
Go back, re-listen to things again. Because every time that I've done that, I pick up on something new.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's so much. There's so much that Pastor Zach or whoever is speaking packs into these messages. And sometimes you listen to it and the Lord gives you what you need on that day. And then you re-listen. And then it's like, oh, there's another piece that he's giving me. Because I need this today.
Right, right.
So it's great.
So starting out, we're coming back into Matthew 28.
Yes.
And, you know, last week we talked about that whole backdrop of, you know, what Satan was doing in the background with the counter narrative. Mm-hmm. And Jesus gives his disciple these words, this charge of how they are to live now, going out and making disciples.
Yeah.
But Pastor Zach re-highlighted the concept of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated how he fleshed that out, where it's not doubt as in unbelief, that they didn't believe in Jesus, but it's a doubt of, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
That's how, and I think we all relate to that. We've all received a command. We've all received a charge. And then you look at yourself or you look at the circumstances and you wonder, how is this going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. And one of those, one of the things, it's so surprising, but at the same time, we're in this place at times today, but it's so surprising that they just experienced resurrected Jesus right in front of them. And some of them were worshiping and others were wavering.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we need to remember. Hey, it's okay if you doubt. The Lord can handle that. And Jesus gave them what they needed even for their doubt in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so even with the wavering, he's like, all right, well, this is what you need to settle on. Okay. And
right.
Hearing those words of Jesus, I'm sure that from that, because by that point, if you look at the Gospels, by that point, there were hundreds of them. And then even after that, there were hundreds of them that went to the upper room. But by the time the day of Pentecost came, there was 120.
Yeah.
Some continued to doubt, and it whittled down to 120. And that's okay, because what happened next was thousands were added to the numbers. So I guess one of the things to just encourage everybody in is, when you doubt, listen to the words of Jesus. Don't listen to the doubt. Don't let the wavering cause you to, you know, to fall off. Let the words of Jesus allow you to stand, you know,
allow
you to stand on his word.
And, you know, I'm reminded of when Peter was sinking, when he's walking on the water, and then Jesus saves him and he walks with him back to the boat and he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?
Yeah.
I think it's important that we rest on that phrase, why did you doubt? Because what Jesus is doing there is he's starting a dialogue.
Yeah.
He's encouraging Peter to, you know, to really think about, so why were you doubting yourself? Mm-hmm. Why were you looking at this?
Yeah.
And when we are doubting, it's important that we don't keep those doubts to ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, you might feel like you should, because you don't want to come off as weak, but I would propose to you that that's Satan's game plan with your doubts, is to make you feel that you can't do this,
right,
and that you are by yourself.
Right, right. It's true. It's true. And we often want to give so much credit to, you know, Satan's schemes and all of that, but let's give him just this much. He knows exactly how to try and get us.
Yeah.
And because we know that, let's not fall prey to those things. Mm-hmm. And so for Jesus to ask Peter, hey, why did you doubt? It's to do just that. To, hey, you know exactly what Satan is trying to do. And so when you question why you doubted, then you're able to not fall prey to that anymore, simply by having your eyes open to what is it that, you know, where is that unbelief in you? Where is that the tension of doubting and believing, doubting and continuing to follow steadfastly, like the wavering and the standing firm, you know?
Right. And rather than get discouraged by seeing someone else who's, oh, wow, they are clearly worshiping and they aren't doubting.
Right.
Talk to them.
Yeah.
Talk to them because we are members one of another. We'll definitely get more into this, but this is why you need to talk about it.
Yep.
You need to get it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I love how Pastor Zach even addressed that there are places where discipleship is happening. It doesn't happen. I was just talking to somebody today. It doesn't happen being a lone wolf and here I am just, you know, me and Jesus. Listen, there are places to be alone with Jesus, but there are places where fellowship, oneness is necessary in order to move forward in this battle, to move forward knowing that you're arm in arm, shields locked, shoulder to shoulder with someone else. And that's where you're able to talk about that. There are different times when we need each other. I need somebody that is steadfast and persistent in the middle of me doubting, and they need me when I'm steadfast and persistent in the middle of them doubting.
Yeah, no, it's so true because, you know, Paul, I believe it's Paul, he says we comfort with the same comfort that we have received.
Yes.
And once you receive that comfort, either, you know, directly from the Holy Spirit or through another vessel of the Holy Spirit, another believer, you're equipped in a way now where you can now go help someone else with that same issue.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, I've been there and this is the truth that God gave to me.
Yeah.
And this is and we equip one another in this life.
Yeah, absolutely. And so and that's family. You know, that's the family of God, spiritual family, all of that brotherhood, brother and sister, sisterhood. I was talking to somebody about that, you know, the same person earlier today. And that actually did get me thinking about you and what we experienced on Sunday.
Yes, Sunday.
And what we experienced Sunday, because the reason why we missed part of the message is because there was a brother that needed us.
Yeah.
And there have been times when you and I would talk about things going on in our lives and we need each other. And it was really cool because when we walked back into the service, it was literally exactly what the Lord had given us for that brother. And he even texted me after service saying, I needed that. And then I walked in right at that point. So it's really cool how it's so cool to see the Lord do that.
Yeah.
And instead of doubting, because I will say there are points when the Lord is having, you know, me say something to someone and I'm like, you sure about that one, God? But then, hey, I'm just going to be obedient.
Yep.
And then it's okay to say, hey, am I on the mark or off the mark with this? Here is what the Lord is giving me and help me understand why. And that opens a dialogue with a brother or a sister. And that is where there is, you know, firmness, certainty, a bit more just that's where somebody can get more emboldened. That's where someone can get more find firm foundation in the Lord's truth.
Right. And you know what I'm hearing you say is it's reminding me of the next part in the message where Pastor Zach talked about the authority.
Yeah.
The authority that Jesus had now that he had resurrected, you know, death was defeated. And so because he has all of this authority, he's about to ascend, you know, back to the Father, to heaven, and then he'll pour out the Holy Spirit as our comforter and teacher. But he says, all authority has been given to me. And Pastor Zach talked about how if we are to walk in authority, we have to be under authority. So Jesus was given the authority by the Father, and then he gives authority to us. But we only live and breathe and do what we do because of his authorization.
Yes.
And so when we're doing this disciple-making business, when we're walking with one another, it's never... I should never be putting it in my own as it's. They aren't receiving from Luke.
Right.
They're receiving from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I am only partnering with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's how. And we have to have that humility when we're walking with one another.
Absolutely. So, man, there's so much that
there was
has
a lot.
Gone
yeah.
on in this past week. So. We had the Spiritual Warfare Conference this past weekend, and for those of you that went, so glad you were all able to go. For those of you that didn't...
I was not able to go.
Hey, I was only able to go on Friday, and even that little bit was powerful. Unfortunately, you weren't able to go, but it's okay. The Lord had you in other places. It's all right. Go talk to somebody that did go.
Yeah.
Because there is that, you know, that... sharpening of one another that can happen there. And one of the things is Reverend Ken Steigler. I don't know if you know much about
him. No, I don't.
He was Pastor John's pastor growing up when he was younger, much younger. And so he is an amazing, humble, sweet man, but oh my goodness, so powerful. So powerful. And so he was talking to the staff on Monday, and he was saying along those lines, he was talking about how we have authority. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have authority from the Lord, and we have to step into that authority. Don't relinquish it. We have to step into that authority, but out of obedience.
Yeah.
To the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Zach was talking about that in the message as well. And so here is Jesus saying, you know, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And we have to recognize that the Lord received that authority, and as his bride, he gave it to us. And if we could just quickly go back to Jamal and Holly's message from a few months ago, that Jesus received that authority, and as his bride, all of it is ours. And Jesus is telling us, hey, you're my bride. This is what I receive. Now you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how just what you were saying, he wants us to partner with him.
Right.
He wants us to partner with him in this. And it's because he went to heaven and gave us the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to go. And that was something that Pastor Zach highlighted as well.
Yeah, you know, because there was something that I think some people might be a little confused about, and I want us to talk about it.
Yeah.
The Sadducaic spirit
yes.
and the denial of the resurrection.
Yeah.
What did you take away from that?
Okay, so I love that we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Because here is the thing that people might not know. The Sanhedrin was pretty much like the Supreme Court of the day. Okay. They were the religious leaders of the day. And the Sanhedrin was made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You may have heard this before. The Pharisaic spirit, the Sadducee spirit, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were pretty much like two political parties, Jewish political parties of the day. And they were the religious leaders that said, this is how Jewish people need to live. Now, here's one of the issues. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in the spirit realm and all that. And the Sadducees didn't. And so now the Sadducees are wanting very much to deny the resurrection of Jesus. So here is when Pastor Zach gave us this context. the Sadducees wanted to do whatever it took to deny and put out a different, oh no, this is what happened. This is what happened. His disciples came by night and stole him away. There's no way that he resurrected. So let's explain this in a different way. Let's explain this intellectually in a different way. And they didn't want there to be, this whole report given to the city and all the Jews that were there at the time, because they didn't want there to be an uprising. Like, oh my goodness, here is what is going to happen now. Because if you think about it from their perspective, they thought it was over. We put this man to death, and so now this uprising is going to die. But no, if the report of him being alive went out, then the uprising itself is going to continue to build momentum. So the Sadducees very much wanted to put that thing to death even more by putting out this other intellectual argument that did pervade in that day, but it didn't matter because, you know, the power of the resurrection couldn't be denied.
Right. And then, but then Pastor Zach was also saying how, you know, even like we as believers, like we could succumb to that kind of thinking and it manifests like when we struggle to accept our calling or what Jesus is placing on us. And he's saying it's basically because you're not living from the resurrection.
Right. Absolutely. And so one of the things about doubt is doubting the things that we can't fully comprehend. There are things that we're not going to fully comprehend, and that's where we let faith fill the gap. But if it's something where, oh, I can't understand the resurrection, there's no way that that is actually, not even even saying there's no way that that's actually like fully, just trying to reason it out in our minds, like, wait, exactly how did that happen? How was he really dead? Or did he really rise?
Yeah.
There are things that we try to figure out in our mind, and those war with the spirit, because some things are spiritually known. And so here with the whole resurrection thing, the thing that I'm getting at is, excuse me, the thing that I'm getting at is when we are in faith, believing in the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead, then we're allowing that same power to raise us up out of the things that, you know, that try to cause us to die. The enemy desires for our lives to be dead and without life, without power. But the Lord, the spirit of life, the spirit of power wants us to live in a way in resurrection power so that we're not doing this all in our own strength. Does that make sense?
No, it totally does. And you know, Paul emphasizes the resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
Of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he says in 1 Corinthians in 15, you can go read it.
Yes.
And he says, if Christ is not raised, then your faith is in vain.
Yes.
And so maybe you're hearing all of this and you're like, I have no idea what these guys are talking about. I have no idea. Like Sadducee spirit, Pharisee spirit. I don't.
Yeah.
I want to throw that out. All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Just understand that the resurrection of Jesus is the pivotal point of our faith.
Yep.
And because Jesus was raised from the dead, now death is defeated. That was like the final nail.
Yeah.
And Paul says in Romans 8, he says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. So when we go through life not living that way, that is what Pastor Zach is getting at, is, okay, you're basically succumbing to the Sadduceic yes. spirit that there's no resurrection of the dead because your life, you don't live and approach the issues in your life as though Jesus raised from the dead.
Boom.
You don't, and if you don't, then you're not going to be able to operate
yeah.
in the power that that Jesus is putting on to you.
Yes. I love how you do that, bro. I love the way that you're able to see that and take the scripture and bring it together in a teachable way where it's like, here it is. Let's break this down. Let's simplify this. This is exactly it. And that's exactly it, bro. Keep going.
Well, it was great because as you were talking, I'm getting all these scriptures. And but this is why it's important that we talk.
Yes.
Because, yes. You know, if you have a question about something, talk it out.
Yeah.
If you have a doubt about something, talk it out, because it's in the talking, in the hashing it out
yeah.
that you start to hear the Holy Spirit like prompting you with the verses that you've read before
yeah.
and the truths that we've read before
yeah.
and what it is exactly that the Father's calling us to.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just, you can't think you're just going to receive it from like the first pass of just of listening.
Yeah.
We get a lot that way, but we get more when we, you know, talk and break things down.
Yeah. And I definitely want to highlight that passage that you said. It's 1 Corinthians 15, mm-hmm. just like you said. Read through it. Oh, it's so good. It is so good because it talks about the order that
right.
things happen for the sake of us knowing mm-hmm. what it is that we are alive
right.
in now.
Right, right. And so what that means is when we walk through this world and we see death all around us, we see destruction, we see decay. Paul talks about, you know, the world is groaning and
yeah.
it's dying and it's like in pains of childbirth. We don't live by echoing that death. We
yeah.
live knowing that, oh, I carry life inside of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have been equipped with life and the power of Jesus's resurrection life, and now I go out.
Yeah.
And so it's so cool. Like, I'd never tied all of that into, you know, the teaching of the Great Commission.
Yeah.
But it's so cool to emphasize this. And then now we go into, you know, after we have the authority, it's
yeah.
okay to do what? He says
yeah.
to go out and to make disciples.
Yes. Yes. And we absolutely need resurrection power in order to do that. Otherwise, we're doing it in our own flawed power, which is actually impossible. We can't do it in our own power. We need the resurrection power in order to do it. And because of the resurrection power, that is how we receive authority, and that is how we're able to speak with mm-hmm. boldness
yeah.
and power and truth. Otherwise, just like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we're doing it all in vain.
Right.
It's powerless. It's a powerless gospel. But the mm-hmm. truth is,
oh, so good.
With the power of the resurrection, we're able to say, now we can have life. Jesus died and rose again so that we can be free from the penalty of our sins and have power today mm-hmm. to live abundantly.
Amen. 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 So Pastor Zach spent a decent amount of time on this concept of a disciple versus a yeah. convert.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we messed this up so much. Oh, man. For those of you that remember the days of tracts, if some people are still, you know, handing them out today, no offense. But the relationship is where disciples are made. If you go out, and I was actually just talking to somebody about this recently, because people go out and they talk to people and they, you know, and they evangelize like we are mm-hmm. supposed to, but then count the numbers and say, this is how many people I saved, and then move on as if that is the end of, that's the end of our role. No, the Lord said, go and make disciples. And Pastor Zach even highlighted this, go and make disciples, baptizing them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the disciple making happens, mm-hmm. then the baptism happens. And the problem is when we go and make converts, all right, I'm going to tell you a thing. I'm going to tell you a testimony, a story. I'm going to compel you mm-hmm. to come to Christ. And now you are a convert and I'm going to leave you there.
Right.
That is not what the Lord desires. He desires for people to have community, to bring some of the difficult things that they're dealing with so that in that process, discipleship is happening. Mm-hmm. Discipleship meaning there is there's learning that's taking place. Okay, I'm learning how to do life with looking to the Word, looking to the Lord, bringing my doubts and my questions and everything to the Lord so that He can handle them and I can be more solidified in mm-hmm. my faith in Him, and so that I can walk this life with Him. Follow me is what Paul says, as I follow Christ. That is disciple making.
Right.
The Lord said to His disciples, follow me. There's a following that happens. There's a oneness there. What the Lord is doing is He's showing in life, here is how you handle these things because of the truth that you have, that you're able to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
So the discipling is much different than the, you know, converting. Now, yes, go out and evangelize. Go and tell people all about Jesus, but then make sure they have somewhere to plug in,
mm-hmm.
somewhere to connect with people so that they can walk and ask their questions and find, see the power of the resurrection in someone else's life, mm-hmm. desire it for themselves, and see it happening in their own lives as well.
Right.
Because we can't call ourselves disciples unless we're making disciples.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
A part of
Amen.
The process.
Amen. Well, and this is what Jesus is giving. He's he's not saying, all right, now I want you guys to go and, you know, just study everything that I told you about and hang out among yourselves.
Yeah.
He's saying you're going to go out and make more disciples. Like he's saying this doesn't end with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because until then, like, they'd been so focused on Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jesus is leaving and he's saying, all right, guys, now you take it.
Yeah.
Now you go. And he does tell them, you know, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power.
Yes.
And you're going to be my witnesses.
Yes.
But again, even in that, he's saying, it's like, you're going to wait for this.
Yep.
But what's the purpose? Again, it's not about you. It's because mm-hmm. you're going to be my witnesses.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, we're not knocking or putting anyone down who goes out and does street evangelism or, you know, if you get someone to pray the prayer and it's like, well, I'm never going to see this person. I saw them on an airplane, or it was like a one-time encounter. Again, it's not to knock that, because those things will happen. Like that's how God works.
Yeah.
But it's okay. We, as we learn this, as we're studying this, we're equipped and we need to be good stewards. So steward those one at a time experiences. Even if it's just, you're never going to see that person again. Now, you know, encourage them get in touch with a church.
Yes.
If there's a church that you know of, then you can point them in that direction.
Yeah.
Maybe it's also you take their phone number.
Easy.
And it's like, okay, I'm going to try to keep in touch with you. Like maybe even just once a week, if you have any questions, call me and I'll be, you know, it's going that extra step to connect them either with yourself or other Christians.
Yeah. And we've been talking about this with the pastoral team, just being so present with people until the handoff happens, mm-hmm. walking with people all the way to the point where they get to where they need to be next. And it's okay for that handoff to happen. And the next person that's supposed to walk with them, walk with them. Like, be okay with that. So if you are the person that is talking to somebody, giving them your testimony, sharing the gospel, giving them the truth, and you see that there is a conversion that happens, mm-hmm. it's totally necessary mm-hmm. to then say, all right, let's get you plugged in. One of our sayings here is grow where you are planted. Mm-hmm. So in order for that to happen, you need to be planted somewhere. And so get planted somewhere, grow there, and watch the Lord use you know, speaking to that person, watch the Lord use you to now help get somebody else planted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not knocking evangelism. We're not knocking converts.
No.
But we are absolutely saying that what the Lord desires are disciples.
Right.
Not simply converts. That happened
back
in the day when there were mass evangelism movements where it was, all right, let's get these people to, you know, check a box, count the numbers, and that's that. But then they are left on the fringes with nobody to connect to. And sometimes they end up worse than where they were before because now they feel like the church failed them.
Mm-hmm.
And to go back to last week when Pastor Zach was talking about this, you know, deconstruction thing. All right, now the blame is being placed on the church saying the church failed me. So now all of the things that I learned and experienced and all of that, that's absolutely wrong. But what Pastor Zach is encouraging is bring all of that to the Lord.
Right.
Instead of saying the church failed me, God failed me and all that. No, bring all of that to the Lord. But here is what, here's how we can avoid all of that.
Yeah.
By going to Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
By looking to Jesus and understanding all authority has been given to him. And here is where disciples are made.
Mm, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
There's still so much left.
So much. So,
but I did appreciate that difference. And if you're still struggling with that, you know, again, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. But Jesus calls us to make disciples.
Yeah.
And it's not to minimize what happens on Sunday morning, but what I find helpful thinking about on Sunday, like what the Sunday morning or the Tuesday night prayer, those kinds of focused inner healing moments, that's where you get aligned and adjusted.
Boom.
But then the walking it out, we don't live in the altar space, right?
No.
Like we go to our jobs, we go to our homes and we have friends and we meet for coffee or we meet for, you know, dinners.
Yeah.
And it's when we walk that out and we see how each other walks it out, when we have the debrief discussions and we're talking, that's where the discipleship happens. And Pastor Zach said at our church, if you ask us where that takes place, that's why we have set up the greenhouses. And if you're not in a greenhouse, you should be in one.
Yes, absolutely. And I, just something on that, I want to highlight what you just said. There needs to be an understanding of balance. We try to live, and I know some people have heard this before, mountaintop to mountaintop, but there's a huge valley in between each mountaintop, and there's a lot of life that is lived there, and there's a lot of growth that happens there. So when I say mountaintop to mountaintop, we're talking about these big moments, these things that are monumental and they're huge and they're amazing and beautiful, but the Lord is still present in the valley. And so we can't go mountaintop to mountaintop. We can't go monumental moment to monumental moment. That's not life. But there is a lot of life to live in between that. So in between, whether it's a yielding, a deliverance, even a Sunday to Sunday, a Tuesday to Tuesday, whatever it is, in each day, there is balance that the Lord desires for us. And when we look at Matthew 28, he's saying, I am with you. And he's even saying, I am with you in between all of that while you're making disciples. It's a daily thing. And so with this daily balanced lifestyle of looking to the Lord and embracing his truth, walking with each other and talking about it with each other, that's a daily thing. That's not just a, all right, I'll see you next Sunday and I'll tell you all about how my week was, whether it was, you know, good or bad or whatever. No, there needs to be that communal
living. And I would say it's even more than just studying a book. Cause I think sometimes like you're like, okay, we're going to have a greenhouse or we're going to have a life group, whatever your church or churches do this. Cause we know we need these community things, but then it becomes like, oh, a study. And reading the Bible is part of becoming a disciple, is part of walking with one another, but it isn't a class. It's about living. It's about being together and doing things and having fun together.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're at Greenhouse and you're like, oh, man, this isn't fun for me or I don't want to be here because it's not fun, you have to pray into that, because that's also one of Satan's strategies is to make these discipleship moments dry and not life-giving. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, hey, what does this group need for this to truly get to the next level and become what Jesus wants it to be?
That's so
okay, because we're here.
So yep.
We might as well do this in a life-giving way.
Yes, absolutely. And that actually, I love that you say that, because Heather Paiva, who oversees all of the greenhouses, I love her heart. She's an amazing, amazing person. And she brought different overseers together and is saying, all right, what is the Lord showing you that you need to be doing for your greenhouse in this season? Literally asked every single overseer that. And it's so great to hear what the Lord is doing in this time, so that these groups, these, you know, families, the spiritual family, we're seeing so much growth individually in the greenhouses. And so all of the overseers are, all right, yeah, let me turn to the Lord. And what is it that you have that you have next?
Right.
And so to the people that aren't in a greenhouse, guess what? In a few weeks, we are going to be highlighting greenhouses on Sunday.
So cool.
It's going to be so amazing, so great.
Cool.
And I want to put this out there so everybody knows it. There is so much room in greenhouses. I don't want to hear another person say, oh, but the greenhouses are all full and all closed. Nope, that's not the truth. Don't listen to those lies. The truth is there's so much room and there's so much life. So definitely get plugged in and grow where you're planted.
Absolutely. Oh, so good. Yeah. So good. And then also, there's also the flip side too.
Yep.
Maybe your group is a lot of fun and not enough of talking about, you know, the scripture.
Right.
You know, there is a balance. It's, again, it's balance.
Balance.
It's what you said.
Yeah.
So praying, the Holy Spirit's going to show you what it is.
Absolutely.
It might be a game or it might be a Bible study, you know,
yeah.
Who knows?
So or a Bible study game.
So we have two more points that I wanted you to talk about.
Yeah.
Pastor Zach talked about how Jesus says all three names, like the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I loved that breakdown and how he, you know, he talked about the why, the purpose, all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So he went right into it with, there are people that like to highlight just one. Mm-hmm. And even some people like to just, oh, yeah. Jesus came. So I'm, you know,
it's all
I'm
about Jesus now.
I'm all about Jesus now.
Yeah.
Now, the danger there is you end up missing out on even what Jesus himself promoted. Jesus promoted oneness with the Father. Jesus promoted the need of the Spirit.
Yes.
So we can't do that. We can't even, hey, we Pentecostals love to be all about the Holy Spirit, but we can't miss obedience to the Father, like the Son, the need for understanding who we are as sons and daughters by looking at the Son. There's so much that we can just look at and miss the other two. But when we look into Scripture and see what the Trinity does, is always highlights the other two. Mm-hmm. So there is oneness there, complete oneness. And so the one of the things that Pastor Zach put out there is the purpose, the power. What was the third P? Help me out.
I got this. 1 second.
Oh, my goodness.
Position.
Position.
So
yes.
The Father is purpose.
Yes.
The Son is position, and the Holy Spirit is power.
Yeah. And we need all three. We absolutely need all three. And so here is something practical that everybody can do. Pray. And ask, Lord, what is it that you desire me to understand more? Because you might be super heavy on the, you know, the power side and totally miss the purpose or the position. There might be one.
I love this. And, thank you.
And
it's
so
necessary
for us to be so open to the Lord and his leading so that we can understand our position as sons and daughters, the purpose being for the Father, and our power coming from the Holy Spirit. We need all three. Mm. And sometimes we lack one or two and focus solely on one of them.
Yes. Oh, that is awesome. Thank you. That's so practical. I'm really feeling that. And I'm actually like, when you say that, I'm like, oh, I'm excited to start praying like that, you know? Because there are times in our life, and I've definitely had it where it's, you see it on the backside, like once God brings you through it, but it's so true that there are weaknesses or brokenness or things in us that cause us to relate to God in an immature way or an unhealthy way or just broken. And it's a way that he has to reveal it to you and then heal it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, so it's important that we work that out with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes vulnerability because we're imperfect people, and that needs to be understood and okay. We are not perfect in our knowledge of him presently, and we need to surrender that to him so that he can fill us with what we need. He has given us everything that we need, but we need to know where it is that we lack. So that comes by being humble enough to ask. That's what James tells us, right?
Yes. All right. So perfect segue.
Yeah.
Because the last thing is teaching them.
Yes.
And, you know, so often I think we feel like I don't have anything to teach or I am complicating this, and it's like, what's going on?
Yeah. So coming from me, the king of overcomplicating things, sometimes we need to just simplify it. And so Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. Okay. And what he is telling us there is you have something to teach. And Pastor Zach highlighted this. I'm pretty sure it was this week. Yeah. He said, you have been given something. No matter where you are in your journey with the Lord, you have been given something that you can teach. And that's why people that are recently saved are such great evangelists, because they're like, here is what I know. Here is what I've experienced. Right. Let me bring that life to you as well. And no matter where you are on the journey, you have something you can teach. Don't try and teach above where you are.
No.
Because that's fake. That's not real. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think I was just coming to me. I think the reason why, like, when you're newly saved, you're so excited and you go out and you don't overcomplicate it, is because you're just taking them to Jesus, right?
Yes, exactly.
But then it's as we, you know, as we settle in, it's like we start to have questions, and then we grow. We get the questions answered.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can forget.
Yep.
Okay, I am still bringing them to Jesus. I am pointing them to Jesus. But in the providing answers, you can almost start leading them to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's the danger, is like whenever I'm teaching something, I should not be leading people to me.
Yeah.
I'm leading people to Jesus.
Exactly.
That's like an application that I'm taking for myself.
Yeah. And that's exactly it, because that's what Jesus told us to do. He said to bring them to him, teaching them everything I have commanded you. And so with that comes receiving from the Lord and giving to others.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be open to only giving what he has given us and not any of the extra stuff that we're trying to, here we are going back to our head with all of this extra stuff, where that's not grounded in scripture and steeped in, you know, in the word and gone through the fire and even coming from the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Lord wants. And there was something else that you're saying there. Oh yeah. So when we receive from the Lord, we're also giving them what they need.
Right.
And that's the thing. So we have to stay open to the Lord in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, we can't underestimate, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit in his role in our life.
Yeah.
Jesus said the Holy Spirit will counsel you and teach you. So he's going to comfort you, but he also teaches you and equips you.
Yes.
And he's not like a substitute for Jesus. He's you know, it's another of the same kind. It's literally God inside of us.
Yes. Absolutely.
And so you have, we have been given everything that we need.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is the best teacher.
Yeah.
He knows what we need to be equipped with in the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus was even, when he was setting up his disciples for when they were, going to be taken to court and thrown into prison, he said, don't practice what you're going to say.
Nope.
In that time of testing, the Holy Spirit will give you everything that you need.
Yep. Yep. And that's full reliance on the Lord. That is living in the power of the resurrection.
Mm. Amen.
Oh, that's good.
Amen. Well, if you would just bless us and we'll get on with the rest of our week.
Yeah, absolutely. Father, we are so, so grateful to you, God. And we rest in the truth that you are with us and you give us everything that we need. So Lord, help us open our eyes to see what you have given us and open our mouths to speak to others your truth that you have given us so that discipleship can happen the way that you desire it. Lord, may we be tools in your hands,
Amen.
Lord, where we belong. So help us, Lord, help us be yours. Help us understand our position because of your purpose with your power, Lord, so that this world, this region, this world can experience you again the way that you desire, Lord. So have your way. We are yours. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So go in the power of the Spirit, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Amen. Love you, family. Can't count on